The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
Well, good morning. I have a question for you this morning. We're kind of in the in-between here, between the old year and the new year. How many of you have had multiple days of pain where your body just... it just hurts. How many raise your hand? We're all getting old, aren't we? Yes, yeah. One day I woke up. It was, I can't even remember the morning, what day it was when I woke up, and I had back pain. And it wasn't anything out of the ordinary. I have back pain all the time. When I work outside, or if I sleep wrong, you know, you lay in the bed the wrong way, and it just hurts. But this one would not go away. And about 2.5-3 weeks later, it was a Sunday morning, and I couldn't walk. So we ended up in the emergency room at Parkview, and they said, yeah, they did an MRI and gave me plenty of medications to make me feel better, and that was great. But come to find out, I have 3 discs that are almost gone in my back. So about 2 weeks later, I'm laying on a table and they're sticking a huge needle in my back and putting stuff on it to try to calm that nerve down. And I tell you this because I want to tell you, there was a point in time when I was at the worst pain that I was having, when I could hardly move, and I would have done anything to not have that pain, within reason. I would have gone to probably some strange, desperate measures in order to not feel the pain. In the Gospel of John, Jesus encounters a man who probably felt similar. He would do anything, including trying to get into a pool of water that supposedly the angel dips down and stirs. And when you would get in there, you would be healed. And he was waiting to get in that pool and had been trying for a long time. We are in the book of John, chapter 5. I'm going to ask that you stand, if you can, for the reading of God's word, in honor of it. It says, starting with verse 2 of chapter 5, "Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has a 5-roofed colonnade. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be healed?' The sick man answered, 'Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps down before me.' Jesus said to him, 'Get up, take up your bed and walk.' At once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked." Now that day was a Sabbath. This is God's word for God's people. Hear it and believe. Father, we praise you for your word. Lord, we know that this man had no idea who he was talking to. But we also know that Jesus knew this man. As we begin a new year, Father, help us to understand that you know us. Lead us, Father. We pray this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. People will try just about anything to be healed. Now, before I get into this list of things, if you believe these things work, I mean no offense. I don't mean to offend you. And I'm not belittling any of these things, but there are a lot of things that people try in order to be healed. There's sometimes people will use gemstones and crystals. They believe that it centers their behaviors and their consciousness, and they'll try it, thinking that it's going to make them feel better. And it's popular still to this day. People use essential oils. They believe that certain oils do certain things. They believe it so much that it has become a 6 billion plus industry. Producing those oils. $6 billion a year. Some people meditate. It continues to be popular and widely used in many cultures. Herbal medicines have been used for since ancient times to heal illnesses. And there are even some people who believe that prayer works. Imagine that. Now, while there's no doubt that some of these methods do work, especially prayer, and they have some validity, I mean, we got to understand, many pharmaceutical drugs actually come from plants. So we know there's some validity to the herbal medicines. Even meditation is mentioned in Scripture. In Psalm 1:2, it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Meditation is valid if it's focused on the right thing. How many of you take a vitamin or a supplement every day? There is still a lot of skepticism, and actually the word's not in yet, whether a lot of those even work. Whether our bodies can even absorb them. And yet, we still take them every day. So it's no wonder that this man was sitting at the pool, hoping to get in, hoping to be healed. Now, this was not just any ordinary day. On this day, he was going to encounter someone completely different. He had been lame for 38 years. Could you imagine? 38 years. And we don't know how many days he had been coming to the pool, but his hope was to get down into the pool. So Jesus comes up to him and he says to him, "Do you want to be healed?" Now, before you think that Jesus is just being cruel, I mean, we got to really examine that question. Why would Jesus ask him that question? Because obviously, what? Yes, right? Obviously, if you're in pain, if you asked me today, "Do you want to get rid of your pain?" I'd say, "Yeah." Duh. I mean, of course. But we need to look at the implications of the answer. This man had been lame for so long. This was his life. Think about what his daily routine was like. He would get up in the morning. He would not be able to get out of bed by himself. Someone would have to help him. He probably would not be able to feed himself as far as prepare his own meal. Don't want to be crude, but to go to the bathroom, somebody would have to take him. I'm glad now my kids can now go by themselves. We watch them as they go like at a restaurant, but they can do it on their own, you know? That's awesome. But for 38 years, this man would not have been able to do anything for himself. But after a while, that just became part of his life. It became routine. You know, I don't know about you. I get up in the morning and I hurt. I'm used to it. It just is. People say, "How you doing?" "Well, I'm hurting it," but that's just the way life is, right? We're getting older. It makes me appreciate the next body I'm going to get in heaven. But this man, his life had become daily pain, suffering, unable to do things for himself, probably not able to do things with his family if he had one. So the question is, what would happen if this man got healed? What if he had said, "Yes, that's what I want"? Think about this. He would not be able to be carried anywhere anymore because he wouldn't have to be. Well, that's kind of a good thing, but then he would have to start doing things for himself. Right? He'd have to start making his own meals. He'd have to start, when he got up in the morning, he'd have to walk wherever he wanted to go. He would have to support himself. He would have to get a job. Up until this time, he was probably begging in the marketplace, and people were having pity on him. No more pity, right? People weren't going to have, "Well, oh, you were the former lame guy. Oh, we still have pity on you." He's not going to be able to beg anymore. He's going to have to support himself. Now, granted, there's a lot of joy that would come from being physically whole again, along with the responsibilities. I mean, some great things would occur. He'd be able to walk and run with his family where for 38 years he had not been able to. He would be able to run with his kids and grandchildren and hold them and carry them. He would be able to dance with his wife. I know, guys, you wish you were lame so you didn't have to dance with your wives, right? He would be able to dance with his wife and dance with his grandkids and run with them and play with them. What an awesome thing. But his life would change. He would again be able to enter the temple of God. Because he was lame, they considered him unclean. He was unable to enter the temple. But again, he'd be able to worship his God. I mean, think of the magnitude of all these things coming down. But the problem is, this guy did not know who was asking the question. In Jeremiah 30:17, it says, "For I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal, declares the Lord, because they have called you an outcast. It is Zion for whom no one cares." Now, Jeremiah is talking that, saying that God will heal all of Israel. He will heal Israel. This man does not realize he's talking to the same God that Jeremiah is talking about that can heal all Israel. And if he can heal all Israel, doesn't it make sense that he could heal this man? But this man says, well, there's no one to carry me down, thinking that there's still something physically he needs to do in order to be healed, when in reality, all he needs to do is say, yes, and I trust you to do it. Well, obviously, Jesus assumes that he wants to be healed because he's at the pool, and he heals him and tells him to pick up his mat and to go. And Jesus does this on the Sabbath. By the way, if you look in Scripture, if you look in the Gospels, most of Jesus' healings happen on the Sabbath. Interesting. There's a reason. I'm not going to get into it right now because it's part of Mark and actually part of something new we're going to be starting pretty soon. But just a little side note. I want you to understand, I think that Jesus still asks us that question today. He asks us, do you want to be healed? It's New Year's Eve, right? Today is New Year's Eve. Now, traditionally, what do? We look at the last year. We look at all of the things we've done, all the mistakes we've made, and we do what? What do we make? Resolutions. I refuse to make resolutions. I don't know why. Because I don't want to set myself up for failure. And I laugh at that kind of because it's not true. I don't think I'm going to fail at all my resolutions. But I don't like making them. I don't like to make a resolution. In fact, I believe Scripture supports me in that. In Matthew 5:33-37, Jesus says this. He says, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is of the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white. I don't have that problem. Or black. I wish I could do that. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. I don't want to make a resolution. Now, that doesn't mean I don't want to change some things about my life and what I'm doing. In fact, this is the perfect time to do it. Even without a resolution, the end of the year is a perfect time to say, hey, wait a minute. I need to change some things. And as a church, it's the perfect time for us to hear Jesus say to us, do you want to be healed? Because I want to be honest with you. The church, not just this church, but the church is hurting and it is lame. Its influence in the world is dying. Its influence in people's life is waning. We're lame. And Jesus is asking, do you want to be healed? We need to examine ourselves and move in a direction that is more in line with the will of God as believers and as a church. God is asking us, do we want to be healed? But before we answer, we need to make sure we understand the implications of our answer. Now, I want to start with the word no. What if we tell Jesus, no, we as a church and we as individuals do not want to be healed? And why would we say that? Why would I not want to be healed? Well, like the man who was lame for 38 years, we get comfortable in our lives, right? As much as we don't like the craziness of our lives, we get accustomed to it. And change scares us. Even though we don't like what's going on here, something new scares us. And we run the risk of stalling out in our growth as believers if we answer no. And as a church, we become mediocre believers and we become a mediocre church when we answer no to that question. We end up going through the motions of being the bride of Christ, but we don't have the power of Christ. Paul warned Timothy about this type of Christian in 2 Timothy 3, 1-5. He says, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. So, you think life is tough? Well, yeah, Jesus said it was going to be. There's going to be times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of good or God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power, avoid such people. And I believe that these are not people outside the church. This is the church. These are people, because it says right there, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. And he tells them, avoid these kind of people. The problem is, how do we avoid ourselves when we are those kind of people? And I'm not saying we're all these kind of people. I'm just saying I have to look at me and say, have I at any time this last year been proud, arrogant, abusive? I have not been disobedient to my parents. Ungrateful. Oh, yeah, there's many times I've been ungrateful. Heartless, unappeasable. Yep, ask Beth about that. we laugh about that, but it's true. Without self-control. Yep, I can go through that list and I can look at those things. And I say, yeah, I have been those things. And I shouldn't. Because when I do, it comes down to the fact that I have the appearance of godliness, but I don't have its power. Because if I had its power, I'd be able to overcome all those things. And as a church, if we had the power of Christ, we as a church would be overcoming all those things. I don't mean on this last day of the year to pull out the whipping post and beat us, but it's true. We have to examine ourselves. Do we want to be healed? By saying no, we're saying that we don't need God's help. We can do it on our own. And that's chronic in the church today. We can do it by ourselves. We don't need God. Now, we won't say that, but by our actions, we prove it. We don't pray. We don't trust God. We work harder, right? To do it ourselves. And in fact, when we do that, I would say we're probably denying the Holy Spirit. We run that risk. And it's a tough place to be as a believer and as a pastor. I look at myself and I say, I've got to stop trying harder and I need to trust God more. That's the no. That's the bad news. That's the stuff we don't want to have to deal with. But what if we said yes? What would it look like if we as a church and we as individual believers in Christ, if we, Jesus asked us, do you want to be healed? And we said yes. Here's what it would look like. We'll see the power of Jesus in our lives. In Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, he's talking about all these great crowd of witnesses going through the Old Testament. It says, therefore, this is in chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin. Those sins that were listed in 2 Timothy, that's exactly what we're seeing here. that clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking to who? To Jesus, trusting Jesus, not ourselves. The founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. I'm sorry, the church has grown weary. I have grown weary and faint-hearted at times. It's time to look at all the amazing things that God has done through all the people in the Old and New Testament. And we need to look at it and say, I can't grow weary because God has done amazing things. And I can do it through the power of Jesus Christ because I can turn to him instead of trying to turn to me. I believe the church needs to turn. See, if we allow Jesus to heal us, to reach into our lives and change us, we will be able to achieve so much more than we ever imagined. God has such huge plans for us as believers and as a church, but we must trust him. We must focus on, it's not about doing more. It's about doing the right things and doing the things that are according to his will. No more just going through the motions like we've always done. See, the challenge for the church today is acknowledging and following God rather than following our traditions and our personal preferences. Let me say that again. The challenge for the church today is to acknowledge and follow God and not to follow our church traditions and our personal preferences. See, if we say yes to Christ, our prayers as believers and as a church would have power in them. We won't be praying just because we have to. We'll be praying because we know that's where the power comes from, that it comes from God. And when we access it through prayer, it would change our lives. Prayer would not just be a thing we just tack onto our lives. It would be the source and power in the center of our lives. If we say yes to Christ, when somebody volunteers, we will be training them and what it means to be a volunteer. And they will be volunteering not just because they feel guilty about it, but because they're excited about how they can serve God and they can serve God's people and they can serve their community. That's why we do it. If we say yes to God, every Sunday would be baptism Sunday. We would never have to empty the baptism. Well, we would. We'd have to clean it. But it would always be full. Because why? Because every Sunday we would have a baptism. If we say yes, that we want to be healed. If we say yes, our life groups, our small groups will be bursting at the seams. And I'll be spending so much time training new leaders and starting new groups. If we say yes to Christ, our finances would never be a problem. Not that they are now, but they're not. But they would never be a problem. Why? Because everyone would understand what it means to give to God what's already his and to give it sacrificially. If we say yes to God, we would embrace change, okay? Instead of opposing it just because it's changed. I'm not saying we need to change everything, but I want to tell you that we need to look at our culture and say, how can we reach them with the truth of the gospel? Gospel never changes. The good news doesn't change. How we do it does. Has to. It has to change. But we would do that without worrying about, you know, well, we've never done it that way before. Doesn't matter. We've never been in the culture like we have before. It's a different world. If we say yes to Christ, we give our best to God, whether it's in the music or whether it's in the teaching or whether it's in the preaching, whatever it is we're doing, we do it to the best that we can. God doesn't want us to settle. He wants the best. And if we say yes to Christ, we would not judge other churches just so that we make ourselves feel better. We do that. Every time I go to a conference with other pastors, you know, one of the first conversations is, so how many people do you have in your church? I never answer it. I say, enough for now? Enough to be a movement? Enough to actually get some things accomplished? I'm not going to, it's not about the numbers. It's not. It's about whether or not we're doing God's will. God will take care of the numbers. Tomorrow's a new year. It's a brand new year, starting tonight at midnight. I'm wondering if I'll see tonight at midnight. I might actually go to bed early tonight. Tomorrow is a brand new year. How do we move forward? What does God want us as believers in the church to be doing in this new year? Well, he wants us to trust him, right? More than anything. And there are a few things I'd like to share with you. Some of the things that God has been laying on my heart as we focus on him, and as we think about the first couple quarters of this year, there's some things that really, really God's been hitting me with, and I think that he wants us to do as a church. First of all, if you have been in this church, if you've been around me long enough, you know this number one thing is not going to surprise you: disciple making. The one thing that Jesus commissioned us to do was to make disciples. We are to love God with everything we have. We're supposed to love our neighbors, right? We're supposed to do those things. That's the great commandment. But the great commandment leads to the great commission, which is to make disciples. If we're not making disciples, we are not listening to God. What did Caleb say? The word that Aaron liked? Doing what my parents tell me when? Immediately. I'm glad you have that problem with Charlie, just like we have with Caleb and Abigail. The problem is God has that problem with us. The church for too long has ignored making disciples. I'm sorry, what we're doing here does not make disciples. Okay? And we're going to talk about that. In fact, next week, I'm starting a sermon series. It's probably going to go at least 6 weeks on making disciples. What does it mean? How do we tell what somebody is? If they're a disciple, where are they at? And what do we need to do to help people move along in the process? And where am I? That's what I'm hoping everybody sits and looks at. Where am I in this process? What am I doing? Because we're all supposed to do it, not just me. And our Sunday school classes and our small groups, our life groups, are all going to be focusing on this and digging deeper in it. If you're not in a life group or don't come to Sunday school, in fact, Sunday school lessons different than the small group lessons, so I'd suggest go to both. Come to Sunday school. Go to a small group. Learn about what it really means to be a disciple maker, which is what we are supposed to be doing. Disciple making is going to be big. Second thing that God has been laying on me is leadership. In Scripture, it definitely tells us what leadership should be like. We have it in the Old Testament. We have it with Nehemiah. We have it in the New Testament with Christ himself and with the early church. So we're going to, for a couple weeks, we're going to explore what did leadership look like in New Testament times, and what should leadership look like today? And we're going to evaluate ourselves. We have been. The board has been evaluating itself as far as leadership goes, and there are some changes we're going to be exploring and moving down paths towards. It's a long process. It's going to take time, but I want you guys to be involved in that. I want you to know what's going on. So we're going to be talking about that. So leadership is going to be big. Membership. What does it mean to be a member of this church? And if you're not a member, why aren't you a member? And if you are a member, why are you a member? We're going to spend a couple of Sundays talking about membership. What does that mean? I also want to have a class called Remembership, so we all understand it. We'll go deep into what does it mean to be a member of a church, and why do we do it? Why is it important? Is it biblical? And the answer is yes, of course. One of the things I also want to talk about is foundations. What we do and the direction we take must be biblically based and covered in prayer. There's a couple things I want to start doing that really get to the core. And one of the things we'll find out when we get into the discipleship is and I'll just kind of tell you, it's called four-chair discipleship. And what chair you're in determines where you're at. And there's one chair where that person really needs to know the gospel story. So I'm going to offer a time where we get together and we're going to go through the gospels. chronologically. What happened day one? Why did it matter? What did Jesus do? What was he doing? What does that tell us about ourselves? What does it tell us we're supposed to do? And then how does my story weave into that? So we're going to have that. It's important for us to have foundations. God is asking us, do you want to be healed? I want to say yes. But I also have to understand the implications of that. He's asking you. And the question is, how will you answer him? Will you answer him yes or no? There's no in between. Well, I want to be healed, Jesus, but I want to stay with right where I'm at. You know, no, it doesn't work that way. I still want people to carry me. You know, I don't want to have to fend for myself. I don't want to have to grow myself. No. It's either yes or no. And if it's no, that leaves a place we don't want to go. The best advice I can give you is what Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 16:13. He tells them, be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. I like this one too. Act, and ladies, no offense here, but this, you got to understand the context of what Paul was writing to. Act like men. I want to challenge the men in this room right now. Act like a man. Act like a spiritual leader in your home like you're supposed to. It's biblical. It's what God wants us to do. Act like a man. And lastly, be strong. Be strong in the Lord. He's asking the question, how are you going to answer? Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We praise you, Father, that you have asked us the question, do you want to be healed? And Lord, I know how I want to answer. I want to answer yes, but I also know the ramifications of that and what's going to be expected of me. Father, just lead us as we walk through these, as we walk through discipleship and leadership and membership and the foundations of our faith and understanding how the story, your story that you have written through Jesus Christ and how our story of how you've written our lives weaves into that. Help us to get excited, to be strong in the faith. To be faithful to you and to our families. To act like men and women of God. And to be watchful. Why? We need to watch for Christ to return. We don't want him to come back and find us still sitting by that pool, hoping that somebody will carry us in. When he wants to heal us so we could walk away on our own. Be with us, Father. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.